Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad Nostalgia.
The Vintage Series.
And hello, people. Welcome back to Bad Nostalgia with me, comedian, writer, director, actor, podcaster, Lewis Charlesworth.
And me, I'm all of those as well. Absolutely. Pete Phillipson.
Thank you very much. Matched me there for every single one, didn't you, Pete?
I didn't know. I like the way you did the Vintage Series. I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, well, you know, last week we were a little bit off pace, right?
TV
problems. Ahoy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But today...
Not for people who've seen who've heard the edited version, though.
Well, of course, yeah. Well, don't tell
them. If you listen to it live, there was a few hickety hoops.
Hickety hoops? Is that a new term? Oh, did you just come out with that recently, Pete?
Yeah.
I like that. Hickety hops.
I like the way you did the Vintage Series and you did it like an old man. Was that what you were going for?
The Vintage Series.
Yeah, because Vintage is like old man. It just works.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad that came across straight away.
Yeah, it did.
I always get that horrible feeling that people can't hear anything we're saying because I'm here, like, on my own. I still feel new to the desk, even though I've been doing it for two series now. I still feel like, my God, they're not going to hear anything.
Can I ask you as well?
Yeah,
with the Vintage Series, with that bit, how did you do that in one take?
Yes, I did that in one take.
Oh, right, okay.
I love it when I'm a one-take Jenny. I just absolutely slammed it the first time.
At the same time, I can pitch you there for an hour just going, the Vintage series.
Last of the Summer Wine Spectrum of old people.
The Vintage! No, that's too loud.
Like a whole nursing home's worth of old people, all, like, but played by me. No. Just the one, mate. One and out. Beautiful,
one
perfect.
Take Charlesworth.
So we've come round. It's Tuesday already, isn't it?
And I know,
it's just
so
like
quickly.
No time lost, doesn't
series
it?
Series 4,
episode 2.
Yeah.
We've got 19 episodes on Podomatic and iTunes now. 19. My friend, she's travelling America at the moment, right? She's got a 6-hour coach journey at the moment, right?
Yeah.
She hadn't listened to any of the episodes. She's binged 5 in a row. That's how
really?
Good the show is. Yeah,
which one? Not Willow.
Not Willow. Don't. That doesn't even exist. That's one for the archive.
E.T.?
No, stop saying the worst episodes. We're trying to cross promote and cross sell here.
Flight of the Navigator.
No, that's not even been recorded. You
for
awful
a good reason.
Salesperson. No, it's she listened to the Disney series.
Classic series. There's not one bad egg.
No bad egg. No dead wood. Yeah. Sorry, just not there. It keeps going. It just keeps going. So she binged it. I almost said binged her tits off to it, but that's really inappropriate, isn't it? Well, just like the series.
Exactly.
So here we are, lovely segue back onto the focus. Focus, Charlesworth. This is Bad Nostalgia. We will tear up the beautiful films of the vintage era of Hollywood and Disney. This week we have the wonderful and amazing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
If you haven't
heard of this film... If you haven't seen it, then what you're doing, you're from a different planet, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
This is another big hitter.
Let's do it. There's a big hitter in it. Big time. Different nostalgia music this time, baby.
Oh, mate.
Do you like it?
I love it.
It's from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Which bit?
What do you see when you people...
Oh, right. I was going to go into Charlie the Chocolate Factory then.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweets? Sing anything, mate. Send blurred lines to it if you want. So it only lasts 1 minute and 50 seconds, so let's get on with the nostalgia, shall we?
Right, okay.
Right, so what do you remember back in the day?
I remember it. It was such a long film. I remember when I was a kid, and even when I rewatched it, it was like 3 films in one. You had the car, and then they were at sea, at the seaside, and then you were in Bulgaria. So I remember it being like sort of 3 different films. And I was so young when I watched it, I didn't really understand what films were, so I was confused why Bert from Mary Poppins was now an American.
Yeah, but because you're a kid, you never quite question it.
I'm like, He was in Mary Poppins. I didn't know what actors were or anything. Yeah. I was like, he was in Mary Poppins.
You think it's the same person,
yeah,
don't you?
You think it's real, yeah.
Yeah, and the accent, you know, it's pretty shit in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, you just
think he's the same person. There's a lot of continuity, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't explain why he's now American, because he doesn't even attempt to do the Cockney accent this time around, does he? And I thought, like, Mary Poppins was the blonde woman in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He kind of was Julie Andrews. It all merges into each other.
Yeah.
Because it's got the same vibes, same tone.
I'm jumping ahead into trivia, but he actually refused to be in the film until he got to a certain amount because unless he could do an American accent, because he'd been so panned for his Cockney accent.
I saw that.
He refused to be in it for ages. But I can bring him up now because that's not really inappropriate. It's just a fact, people. It was amazing. I remember all the kids who lived on my street. They all used to come around to my house and watch it. I remember.
We all
used to watch it together.
You took it to a little bit of Lincolnshire Children's Fest.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Oh, is that kind of film?
All white kids.
All white, of course.
Obviously,
good.
Yeah, because you know, that's all the kids. Not through choice, people. That's all the kids.
That was the extent of the demographic.
Exactly. Yeah. There was four white kids, and then no one for 50 miles.
An ethnic minority in Lincolnshire back in the early '90s was just a ginger kid, really, wasn't it?
It was, mate. Yeah, absolutely.
No, but I had lots of fond memories of that place myself. We're just going to play it again. Yeah?
There we go.
Just snuck it in there. Fond memories, of... we were talking last week with Mary Poppins. Was very girly, wasn't it?
This
one was a little bit more masculinity
this
for
it. This was Lads on Tour, wasn't it?
Lads on Tour, totally. Because you had all the machines. You had a car, the brum-brum.
Yeah.
The chitty-chitty, bang-bang.
It was going bang-bang.
It was.
Do you think that was sort of like, you know, the future Lewis Charlesworth? He was talking about, you know...
Bang-bang?
The bang-bang.
As in sex?
Yeah.
Not really.
Sexual man.
I am a sexual man, but that's going to be manifested in a different aspect of the film, not the cars. I don't put myself in exhausts.
Yeah, but did you hear the bang bang and you thought, oh yeah?
No, I didn't. Pete.
Right, okay.
Maybe you did.
No, I didn't.
With your little Aryan children's fest in your house. Right. I fought you off then, didn't I?
I just can't believe you. You're not even going to go there. You're not going to play.
I'm not going
there. You're not
even
going to pretend.
I'm not going there.
All right, okay.
Right, but what I was into the cars, the machinery, the inventions, the creativity, Dick Van Dyke, all the sweets.
Yeah.
It's so chocolate and sweet inflected,
this
film.
It's so for kids, isn't it?
They're
it's got
so
everything.
It's like kids' film by committee. What do kids love? Sweets. Tick. Cars. Tick. Fun, tick. Songs, tick.
Yeah.
Dickie Van Dyke, ticky, ticky, ticky. All that kind of stuff. Child catcher, like being scared.
Yeah.
Beating up the parents at the end, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It had everything. And it's a great, I don't know, Jackie Brown's a great, I am comparing it to Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown's a great hangout film for adults. Yeah? You watch it, you just let it wash over you. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a great hangout film for kids.
You know what, that's exactly what it was. That's why everyone used to come round and watch it.
It's a communal thing.
Yeah, it was almost, you could talk over it as well, because the film's so long and so much happens in it. You can be having a chat to, you know, or like your little lad mates who are like, you know, 6 years old, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the bit where they're in Bulgaria or wherever they are, yeah.
And then someone says, why does that happen? Like, shut up, mate, we don't know, we don't care. It's not important.
Yeah.
Eat your fucking Cocoa Pops and just chill out with the other blonde brothers in the room. Yeah, it is. It's just a total chill out hangout film, isn't it? Whatever happens, you don't really... You're not going to lose yourself with it, because it's just none of it makes sense, to be honest. But that's not why we're here. We're here to make sense of it, aren't we?
We are, mate.
As young adult men in 2016 with our young, rational minds.
Yeah.
Not too young, though. We've got enough life experience to know how a film should be constructed for a child. Not this film, though. Awful. Awful in that respect. But a great film.
Yeah.
I almost said a brave film.
I suppose it is with some things.
All right, so here we go. We're going to just play the trailer for you now, people, and then we're going to talk about it properly. All right, stay tuned.
Keep clear.
This is Caractacus Potts, inventor extraordinaire. Caractacus had a dream. He believed man could fly. At first it was hard getting his dream off the ground. But Caractacus had faith. And a beautiful sweetheart. Two charming kids.
Thanks, truly scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious.
and an adventurous grandfather.
Order out, starboard out, posh with a capital P-O-S-H, posh.
Then Caractacus invented a fantastic magical car. It floats, it flies, and it carries adventure wherever it goes. It took them to castles and palaces and to far-off lands known only in lullabies.
Watch your boat from harsh by mountain. Sail far away from lullaby
bay.
It also took them into the clutches of the nasty Baron Bombburst, who ruled over the evil kingdom of Vulgaria, where children were imprisoned and happiness was a crime. And the only thing that could save them was laughter and music.
Sweet, 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 the bomb on to blow on the clock has been found.
Never before has there been such a gallery of marvelous characters. Dick Van Dyke as Caractacus Potts. Sally Ann Howes as Truly Scrumptious. Lionel Jeffries as Grandpa Potts. Gert Frobe as the nasty Baron Bombburst. Anna Quayle. James Robertson Justice. Benny Hill. Robert Helpman. And Heather Ripley and Adrian Hall as the children.
Hey!
Never before has there ever been such a magical musical entertainment as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Hi, Chitty, no Chitty, anywhere we go. Chitty,
continuous
chitty,
performances at popular prices.
Bang, bang,
direct from its reserved seat presentation.
Bang, 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 chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Even then, I was just singing it to myself because I just can't get enough of it. 5, 4, 5, 8, chitty, 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 band. It was very similar to Mary Poppins in the sense that, like, every song, I knew every word to the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had such joy gushing over me every time they started singing. Like, before I even got to the point where I started singing, when you just hear, like, the little lick at the beginning, like,
I
knew straight away. My brain said, Lewis, that's Hushabye by Mountain.
It's all,
get singing.
All the songs in it are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's why I was so excited when we
originally decided to do this show. It's activating those little bits at the back of your brain that have been there for about 25 years that you haven't thought about.
Exactly.
And still there. And you're like, oh, I remember everything. Yeah.
That is such an apt metaphor because it's like little nuggets, little treasure troves of nostalgia buried under layers of beer, sex, career, just fucking UKIP hating, whatever
the
thing
mortgage,
that is.
Everything.
Like, everything that takes precedent in your adult mind is at the front, and then all this kind of gorgeous, ineffective, but personality-forming stuff is right at the back of your mind until you watch these films, definitely.
Yeah, and can I just say, this film has got so much inappropriate stuff on it. There's so much stuff.
Really
But
is.
Can I just say, before we get started, I did love rewatching it.
Did you?
I really, really did.
Oh, lad.
The second from the old Bamboo, like, from then, that's where the film kicked off for me.
Oh, I loved that bit so much.
So, it is a fucking great film.
And
it
do you know
really,
what?
Really is.
We've done two Dick Van Dykes and the Bounce now.
Yeah,
DVD, Penis Inside the Lesbian, right? We've done him twice in a week. And he's hands down one of my favourite actors now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just love watching it. Not necessarily even for his, like, acting in terms of dialogue. I love watching this man dance in character. I just think he's absolutely phenomenal, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a rare case where I rate a performer higher than myself. Right, so...
wow.
So, good. Thumbs up for you, Dick Van Dyke. Why don't you do a comeback now you've got the old Lewis Charlesworth approval? Probably not, you're 90. Probably can't move like that anymore, can he? He's doing all right for his age, though.
He is.
And Actually, no, I don't want to talk
Diagnosis
about that.
Diagnosis Murder.
Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah.
That was a mere 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When he was only 70. So, let's tear it a new bomb hole. Yes, 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 it's that time. Right, we gave you a horrible premise last time, didn't we? Horrible synopsis challenge. So do you want me to take the reins of it this time,
for
or
God's
did you
sake,
want to
yes.
do...
No.
Okay.
I never want to... I haven't even listened to the edit. I hope you just... Oh, my God.
It was one of my favourite bits, mate.
It was like a deer in a headlights, in the headlights, but the headlights were coming from about 50 miles away, and the deer was looking at the headlights for about an hour
in slow motion.
It got, you know... smashed into and died a horrible death.
The abyss.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to try and avoid that. Let's see how I get on. I'm going to try and keep it concise. It's easier said than done, isn't it? Because you get in a bog. You get bogged down. Right, so I'll try. In a nutshell, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is about an inventor man who has some children. Everything he invents doesn't work. So they're quite destitute and poor. However, one day he invents a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, which can fly, and it can swim, and it can drive, and it's very shiny. His kids love him. He meets a woman who falls in love with him, and then they get swept off onto an adventure land. His father is kidnapped and taken hostage by a crazy Vulgarian dictator. He takes the father away, mistaking him for the actual inventor, locks him in a dungeon, says, invent stuff for me. Then the real inventor drives off with his Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car to go and save his father, ends up losing the kids to the child catcher, then has to save the kids and the old man from the grasp of the dictator. They save them, they overthrow the dictator, everyone is unoppressed and free by the freed by the inventor and the car, and thus everybody lives happily ever after.
Great.
Is that about it?
That's great. Right, I feel, okay. Do you know what? I feel
Admin.
Like really jealous of you.
Why?
Because you did that so well, and that's I can see now exactly what I should have done with Mary Poppins.
While just
you were
all doing the surface, that, mate, all the surface.
While you were doing it? That, I felt like, you know when say you've got a neighbour called Bob, and you look out the window and he's got a brand new barbecue that's slightly better than the one you bought.
Yeah.
And you go, Bob's a fucking genius.
Right.
Why the fuck didn't I think of that? What a dick.
That's how you felt about... I was your Bob then?
You were my Bob then, mate.
I was your Bob with the flame-grilled steak?
Yeah.
Awesome, mate.
I was like, what was I doing last week?
That's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
Yeah.
On air as well.
Yeah,
amazing,
yeah.
Mate. Amazing. Thank you. Well, yeah, we did it. Quite concise. Although less concise because now we're just talking about it. Right, so let's move things on. the opening section of the film.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Right at the beginning, opening frames.
That, like, there's a massive, like, car race.
Yes.
Right? And
which has very little to do with the film.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching a different film.
And this is, like, so this is the origin of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and you think it's going to
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's the car that's about to become Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
It's like
sort of the origin of it, and you think it's going to have some, like, cute, quirky little fantasy tale, or like, of how, you know, it came to be Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But it's horrific. It's these two race car drivers. They're in a race. They nearly run over a little girl, a dog, and a load of spectators.
Do they?
And then, yeah, their car goes off a verge and then explodes into a ball of flames. And presumably the drivers burn to death because they're still in the car when it happens. And, like, that's the origin of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's like it's an evil car that has a horrible past.
So it's, like, haunted by the death of that man
who's
driving. Yeah,
so these two drivers, like, burnt to death. And it's never touched on.
No, because I barely remember that bit.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Nice, mate. And also, right, you've got this opening section where all I can get from that, well, all I got from it is that it was a celebration of the car. The whole film is essentially a celebration of industry and cars, and this one car in particular. So you're opening with a big car chase thing where everyone's racing each other in all these broken down cars, and everyone's going crazy saying, don't we love cars? And that's fine. Fair enough. But in the context of a kids film, I just feel like you've got an obligation to be really, really squeaky clean. And if there's something that's like, you wouldn't make a kid's film about smoking cigarettes or something, would you?
No.
And I just think this, like, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but cars are responsible for global warming, contribute towards it. There are lots of bad things about cars. There's too many cars on the road and stuff. And if I was showing this to my kids now, it's just, there's something that doesn't wash very nicely with them because it is so celebratory of cars. I mean, it's just like, everyone's just screaming for it. And it's just to kind of mix that in with all these lovely songs. It's just, I don't know. It just kind of had this really kind of tasteless kind of, oh my, global warming, we love you, kind of just playing around my head. And it was just, I don't know, just combining the two at the same time just didn't wash with me, mate, right? It just didn't like it. And it was the first thing you say,
global warming.
global warming. It's like, just celebrate the car as a child. Celebrate it. No, I don't want to. Have you seen what it emits? Right, so that's your opening section. That's your opening frame, isn't it? And then we move on.
Lewis has been reading The Guardian.
Once. And then we've got this other stuff with, where have we got? What else have we got? We've got this link between, this is a bit trivia, but we've got a link between Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and James Bond, haven't we? Were you aware of that?
Yeah. Well, what was it? Didn't he...
Ian Fleming, the writer of James Bond novels, he also wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Right.
Although he didn't write the screenplay, Roald Dahl adapted.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The
yeah.
Ian Fleming novel. So this kid's film is a Roald Dahl adaptation of an Ian Fleming, the author of James Bond, one of his books. But then Roald Dahl went absolutely off on one and he invented all the stuff in the latter half of the film. So you've got all these like really weird, slight links to James Bond if you look out for it. Like Q, you know the original Q, the guy who invents stuff?
Yeah.
He is the moody farmer at the beginning. Also got stuff like I was going to talk about it later, but like Truly Scrumptious.
Yeah.
Truly Scrumptious. Like the name of a woman and it's put across like that. And it's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
That's very similar to kind of, she won't look out of place in a bikini next to Pussy Galore, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Truly Scrumptious.
Yeah,
like kind
yeah.
Of, so I think that gives it a kind of inappropriate sexual connotation, calling her Truly Scrumptious, and then obviously that's the song I'm going to select for This Song Is Fucked Up. But if you got any other things with this, the kind of the initial bit with the when the premise is set up shop and we're running with it, you've got this father, lovable but shit father. Do you know much about him?
Not necessarily Dick Van Dyke, but the granddad as well. Again, completely unaware that the granddad, like when I was a kid, that the granddad was just, he was full on rape and pillage empire, wasn't he?
He is totally empire, colonial type guy.
And there's a really, really racist bit in it.
Really?
You know, last week we were talking about in Mary Poppins where they have the chimney sweeps on the roof. And the sailor sees them and goes, we're being attacked by Hottentots.
Hottentots,
yeah. The granddad is giving Dick Van Dyke, his son in the film, a lecture because Dick Van Dyke hasn't fixed the leak in the ceiling in the loft that he lives in. And he's saying, you know, when I was a lad, I did, you know, day's work for a day's pay. I used to spit shine my captain's boots. I shined them so much that
remember
when we went
bit.
To battle, the fuzzy wuzzies were blinded.
You did not hear that?
Yes.
You swear to God he says that?
The fuzzy wuzzies were blinded by how shiny my captain's boots were.
Fuzzy wuzzies?
The fuzzy wuzzies.
That's me, isn't it? I'm a fuzzy wuzzy.
I looked it up because I was like, that doesn't sound right. And it's a negative... word for a black person, especially one with, it said a negative word for a black person, especially someone with tight curly hair.
Your Google searches must be looking, you're racking up a really odd kind of looking
Google
search.
Well, the Google thing is, mate,
now,
about
aren't
racism.
You, you were looking up Hottentots last week and now you're looking up the old fuzzy wuzzies. I mean,
the thing is,
you're going to be added to some sort of
racist words
watch
back
list.
Then are so playful. They seem so playful, don't they? Like Hottentots, fuzzy wuzzies.
Exactly.
They seem, so now I'm just so. I'm so like akin to hearing it. When I hear like a funny, playful word, I'm like, no, there's something.
They're cute.
There's something really.
There's something
bad
nice about
that.
Those derogatory terms from the 1960s.
Yeah,
I
but every time I hear it now, I'm like, see, that is just no. And again, I was watching it, just thinking like, well, was that is that a commentary on, you know, how racist, you know, that generation of people were? But I think it was just.
That's
you know,
just
Dick,
what you call
Dick
them.
Dick Van Dyke doesn't challenge it at
no,
all.
No,
no. You know what I mean? I don't
it's just what you call them, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just what you call them.
A fuzzy wuzzy.
Fuzzy wuzz. It's fine. coffee
colour. It's not fine, mate. It's not fine.
It's really not fine. But I've got like a essay worth of stuff on Dick Van Dyke, right? He's a lovable father, but he's neglectful, and he's raising what is essentially feral children. Because they don't go to school, they wear dirty clothes, and they just walk around the streets.
Yeah.
And the amount of times they make reference to sweets and food, they are fucking starving.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got no money, and he's just locking himself in a garage for days on end with these flights of fancy, neglecting them, not giving a shit about them, inventing this stuff that doesn't work. Where's he getting his money from?
Yeah.
If he's like a professor, like a college professor, that's like public money he's squandering.
Yeah, yeah.
And at worst, he's not even in with the university, and he's squandering his child benefits because he's a single dad on this fucking shit that can't even make him scrambled eggs. How lazy is he? And they're just hungry all the time. And then you've got that bit where they're like, "Daddy, we're hungry, and our clothes smell of our own shit, and we've not seen you for weeks. We can't sleep, and we don't know what to do." And then he just starts singing Hushabye Mountain. And if you think about Hushabye Mountain, all the meaning of that song is about is he's basically saying, "Just don't think about your circumstances and how bad everything is. Just escape it by going to sleep."
Yeah.
It's like, just dream about eating a steak.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Hushabye Mountain's their sugar crash, isn't it? From all the sweets
it is, pretty much.
That's why that's why he does it.
And hushabye, shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
Dream.
But Daddy, I've got dirt in my eye. Hushabye Mountain.
I'm sick of drinking my own urine, Daddy. When will the taps come back
on? Hushabye Mountain. I've got no teeth.
Hushabye mountain.
I've just pooed in my hand.
Hushabye mountain. Yeah, so moving things on. Anyway, right, so let's move the plot along. He's been in his garage, hasn't he? He's been making the car. He's locked himself away. Kids don't see him. And they actually say, "We've not seen him for days."
Yeah,
and they don't
go
to school. What's happened in those days?
Yeah.
That is another very bleak film. So they're like little rats, he doesn't care, and then finally he finishes his invention, he opens the garage, it comes out, it's a very happy moment, it's a brand spanking shiny new car, and the kids run up to him and they're like, "Hurrah, hurrah, we're so happy." And when I was a kid I was like, "Oh, they're so happy because the car's finished, but why would they give a shit about the car? They're so happy because, like, finally we can fucking eat."
Because he's
come out of the car and he can actually buy them something.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's not selling the car, is he?
No.
So why is he wasting his time on the car?
He should be thinking about the dollar. He should be thinking about the ROI, mate. Bit of business talk there. Return on investment, people.
I was actually going to just Google that.
Yeah, we don't know. Just stick to your racial Googles, mate. Return on investment. That one. Return on investment. So what did you make of the car then?
I was just still stuck in the horror from the crash at the start because it doesn't make. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, you expect, like, there to be a real magical origin for this car. But it's not. It's a car that two people burn to death in a race. So I don't understand why it's, like, capable of, you know, flying and being in the water and everything. It's a fucking death trap.
It's a hearse,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Chitty, chitty hearse bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I love that... Well, that's quite nice. And then I love the first moment they get into the car, and then they drive off. And then that's the magical moment where they come up with the name for the car, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car.
Yeah.
And I really love this moment because they put such a positive spin on what is essentially a really fucked car.
That's
a really unhealthy sounding car. Because it's like, it drives off for the first time, it's making a ticking sound.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. And then all of a sudden it bangs, like the exhaust explodes. And they just sat there and they're like, "Oh, what's that bad noise it's making? I love it." And it's like, tick, tick. And it's like, "Oh, it's like Chitty Chitty." And then it explodes at the back. "Oh, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Let's call it that." And then they start singing. But if I was in that car at that moment and then I'd heard that bit go with the ticking, the chitty bit, I'd be like, "Timing belt's gone."
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hear the exhaust, your exhaust gone as well. And everyone's trying to, "No, stop the car, stop singing. Your car's fucked, all right? Are you with Green Flag or are you with the RAC?"
You'd panic as well, wouldn't you? Like, you'd be like, shit, if you were driving it and the exhaust fell off. You wouldn't be like, "Oh, kids, it's, that's what we call it. It's chitty chitty bang bang." Yeah, yeah.
"Should we take it on the sea?" "No, mate, your exhaust's gone." "Should we see if it can fly?" "Mate, it can't drive on the floor."
Imagine that on a plane.
Yeah.
Just one of the wings going. Oh, it's called a... We love you.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, so there you go. Right, so we've done the opening section. I think it's time for a little segue, and let's pick up where we left off. Do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, @BadNostalge. Tweet us right now. Right now. Do it. Love you. Okay, see you soon.
Very well. I'll bide my time. And as for you, my fine lady, it's true, I can't attend you here and now as I'd like, but just try to stay out of my way. Just try.
Tune in every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on Fab Radio International.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Will ruin your childhood.
Did you like the new segue?
Very, very nice.
Did you like?
Yeah.
That was my Sunday. That was my whole entire Sunday. Right, so...
Part two.
Where do you want to pick us up?
Where they go to the beach. Take the car. So they drive the car. They pick up Truly Scrumptious. They nearly have a car crash. They're nearly in a collision with her. It happens about 6 times in the film, and she always ends up going into the same lake.
Of course it does.
So they take... So Dick Van Dyke takes Truly Scrumptious and the two kids for a day out at the beach. And it's really creepy. The kids sing Truly Scrumptious to her, and it's so creepy. It's like...
That is my song is fucked up.
It's like, this is why we love you. We've got an absent mother, creepy. And we need a new one, because our dad abandons us to make inventions, and all we eat is sweets, Truly Scrumptious. We need a mother figure. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really sinister.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you break down what the song is actually about,
yeah,
and the way they're singing it,
yeah,
this nothing sits right with me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you say, they
and
want a mother figure. They've just met her. That's an important point.
Is it time? Should we do the song?
We're on to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but in terms of what you... I just taken up the baton from you there. They've met her for the very, very first time. And she's met them for the first time. They like her, but they're really laying it on thick about how much they love this woman. And it's not just that she's obviously a surrogate mother for them and they have latched themselves onto her no end. It's the fact that their liking of her is weirdly being equated to wanting to eat her.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever liked someone in a purely platonic way. If you ever have liked someone, have you ever thought, oh, I really like you so much, I really like being around you, oh, I wish I could eat you. It doesn't really work like that, does it?
No.
The nearest I can think of it being relevant for something like that is if I really fancied someone and I'd be like, oh, I just want to gobble you up, I just want to eat you fucking. Right, but there's no room for mum in there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I want to do is, I've taken off where you established us last week. I don't really want to just read into each individual line. It's more the vibe of what's going on in this song, right? It's got like a mini Hannibal Lecter vibe about it. There's cannibalism going on in here.
Yeah.
Like, he likes someone, he eats them. It's that kind of stuff. So you've got the two ideas running through this, and I just think because they're singing it, they're essentially like, it's like the origin story for Hannibal Lecter, the pair of them. It's really, really quite sinister and creepy. So I will read out the lyrics to this song in the style of Hannibal Lecter.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
Right, here we go. Reading Truly Scrumptious, where they equate liking someone to wanting to eat them. I'm going to read it appropriately in the style of Hannibal Lecter. Toot sweets.
Please say that again.
I'm not going to get through the song, am I?
Just start again.
Go on. It's a really long song.
Right, go on.
Toot sweets.
sound like what they are. So do lollies in a lollipop jar. Gingerbread men have a gingerbread sound, we found. Sugar plum cinnamon and lemon tart tell you what they are right from the start. And your name does the same for you, by coincidence. Truly scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious. Scrumptious as a cherry peach parfait. When you're near us, it's so delicious. Honest, truly, you're the answer to our wishes. Truly scrumptious, though we seem presumptuous, never, never, ever go away. Our hearts beat so unruly because we love you truly. Honestly, truly, we do. There you go.
Wow. Yeah. That was captivating, mate.
It fits, doesn't it?
That is just brilliant.
It fits just
that,
a bit.
Yeah. That is genius.
And now I'm going to play it.
No. Toot sweet sound like what they are. So do lollies in a lollipop jar. Gingerbread men have a gingerbread sound. We found sugar plum cinnamon and lemon tart. Tell you what they are right from the start. And your name does the same for you. By coincidence, truly scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious. Scrumptious as a cherry. When you're near us, it's so delicious. Honest, truly, you're the answer to our wishes. Truly scrumptious, though we may seem presumptuous. Never, never.
And there we are. That song is fucked up.
I was transported then, mate, when you were doing... It was like I was Clarice and you were Anthony Hopkins.
And you were scared to be in this booth with me?
Yeah, and you were in a cell and I was... And you... Oh, it was just... It was wonderful.
And I just wanted to eat you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just had a friend text me now. We've got someone listening live right now, Pete. Mr. Richard Graham is out there.
Richard Graham?
Mr. Richard Ricky Ricardo Graham.
Dickie Graham, where you been, Graham. Mate?
I know, yeah. He loves a bit of nostalgia, he does.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. 80s, 90s kid. Or big time, all the way.
Yeah.
He loves it, mate. He watches his films like every week anyway.
Does
he? Oh, yeah. This show is his bread and butter. Oh,
mate, tweet him. Tweet.
You see what happens, people? If you tweet, you contact me, we talk about you for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Anyway, the show. So you have to get your audience somehow, don't you? One by one. We'll just have the audience show. We spend 3 hours talking for 5 minutes and each individual person who's listened. Worth it, mate, worth it. Right, second half of the film. So we've had the mother. We've only just got to, he's not even got to Bulgaria, whatever you call it. Not Bulgaria.
Bulgaria,
yes.
Yeah.
It clearly thinly veiled attempt at riffing off the real place Bulgaria by calling it Bulgaria.
And can we
sensitive.
Yeah. And can we just touch on the pirates as well?
Please do.
This, I mean, I don't know if this is really, well, inappropriate or, but I thought the pirate thing was real.
Did you?
Yeah.
What, when you originally watched it or when you watched it the other night?
No, when I watched it when I was a kid. Up until, when I watched it the other night, I thought that the pirate thing actually happened. It's just Dick Van Dyke telling a story.
The whole thing is like a dream
sequence.
Yeah. I thought the whole thing happened. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Which makes it even more fucked up because all the fucked up shit that happens in that story that he tells, Dick Van Dyke's telling the story.
It came from his mind.
Yeah.
So I started thinking that. It's like when you realise it's a dream sequence right at the end, I'm like, well, if it didn't happen and it's all come from your imagination, What does that imply? What do you think about your children? The fact that you created this child catcher?
Tell a nice story, Dick.
Tell a nice story,
Dick. Yeah, yeah.
Why have you got a Nazi Germany stand-in called Bulgaria? What have you got against Bulgaria, mate?
Yeah.
Why are you
still
xenophobic?
Why have you got a pedo with an ice cream truck?
Yeah, why have you got a pedo with an ice cream truck? Why have you got a prince, a queen who hates all children, wants them banished, and creates her own version of Auschwitz for children? Mate, what are you doing? Where have you got your stuff from?
Honestly, I genuinely thought that, I don't know how that went over my head as a kid, but I thought that, maybe because I was so engrossed in it, I wanted it to be real.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But he was just telling a story.
Uh-huh.
But it makes sense now, because you watch it and you think, the film just goes off on this tangent. And
Major tangent. Because those are the pirates, they're from like a different century, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not contemporary to Dick Van Dyke and the people there, is it?
No, no.
It's like they've suddenly gone back in time, they've gone to this made-up place where everyone, the kids aren't allowed, everyone's obsessed with sweets. It's like a total realm of fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But as a child, I made that leap. You could do, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So the dream sequence aspect was like really, really subtle, which made me just think, are they on speed or on some sort of drug? As it happened, it seemed really trippy when I watched and I love the way they call this place this made up European country, which is just like an amalgamation of every single lazy European stereotype, basically, isn't it? Because they speak bits of French, bits of German. It's called Bulgaria, which is like a really insensitive riff on Bulgaria. And even though it's clearly based on Nazi Germany, the way everyone's oppressed and everything, terrified as a dictator and everything, but they couldn't call it Bermany, could they? They had to call it Bulgaria, because the Bulgarians aren't going to do anything to us if we just take the piss out of them, so let's riff off their name instead, not the Germans, they might get us, but the Bulgarians, what are they going to do? They're going to Hristo Stoichkov us to death? They're going to Sunny Beach us to death? No, let's just fuck Bulgaria, let's just call it Bulgaria. Who cares if the Bulgarians get up in arms about it?
It's just exactly what Hristo Americans at that time thought of just European people that were from like Austria and Hungary, just like fat men like wobbling around going, where's your toys? Where's your chocolates? Yeah.
You just couldn't do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
You could not do it now at all.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the granddad has been captured by accident.
Yeah.
And he's been taken to the castle where the king lives, and he's been put in this dungeon with a load of other inventors that have been there 4 years. And they've been tortured, the inventors, and they talk about all the torture methods, like the finger screw.
They look fucked and malnourished. They look fucked,
And malnourished. This guy's like a royal Joseph Fritzl. Like, he really, really is. And he's been keeping those inventors there for, like, absolutely years. And they're really, really old and haggard. And you think, well, the granddad must be thinking, well, I'm already about 90.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is going to happen to me? And they've been tortured in that chamber for years, and that just went completely over my head as a kid.
Yeah, I don't even remember that bit, that whole section. It's a bit of a subplot, isn't it? But no,
we watch different films sometimes.
I think so. Yeah. But then they try and save him, don't they? Then you've got the classic, famous, probably the most iconic thing about this film, to the point where we actually felt like it was part of our childhood rather than just a film. The Child Catcher, everybody. The Child Catcher.
Yeah.
It was just so, I don't know, but it just tapped into the childhood psyche to some degree that it just sends shivers down your spine, even now, watching it. I mean, it doesn't affect me now, but it reminds me of how scared I was as a child.
Yeah,
I can see why. And if I deconstruct it now, I can see what makes it extra sinister as well. It's clearly based on, like, you know, the kind of Jew hunter that you see in Glorious Bastards. There's like
a
leader.
Parallels
there's
drawn from
so
that.
Many so many
and the way they have to hide the kids under the floorboards
exactly
and, yeah
kids are standing for Jews and he's like a leader of the SS kind of thing.
It's a Nazi occupation, isn't it?
Clearly
yeah
we aren't projecting, that is what is going on in this little children's film. And then obviously when they do get caught, they get sent to what is essentially a children's concentration camp.
There's
no two ways about it, it's a children's concentration camp. And I love the way Dick Van Dyke visits the camp like Gandhi or something, and he kind of sees how they are, and they're all malnourished and they're all thin, and they're all like, I'm in a concentration camp. And then what does he do to try and help them? He just sings a song.
Yeah,
all he does is sings Hushabye Mountain again. Hush, shut the fuck up. Yeah, that's all he does.
Don't worry about the genocide, the torture and the pedos. Hush.
Yeah. That's all he's got to offer them. And then you move on to our dictator and his wife. Did you get much about this section?
Mate, I did not. The whole weird sexual song that they sing to each other, that you're my, what is it, you're my yummy, yummy...
Twitchy face.
You're my twitchy face. And they're singing a song to each other, and she's like some, you know, Eastern European kind of bondage woman or
something. I probably fancied her when I was a kid.
Like in these stockings and suspenders. And they're singing this song to each other in their bedroom. And the guy, basically, while she's singing, the guy opens up a trap door in his bedroom that she falls through. And then, and he's like, ha-ha, I've got her. And then she reappears through another door in the bedroom. And I was thinking, what was he trying to do there?
Why? Yeah, and she doesn't hold it against him.
What was he hoping to do?
I don't know, mate.
Was he just gonna open that trap door, leave her there, and just starve her to death?
I don't know.
That's his wife.
Yeah.
And how long has he been waiting to do that? Is that a regular thing that he does?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's never really explained. It typifies this really weird relationship they've got, which again goes back into this idea of it's very S&M, their relationship, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's in the stockings and she's got the little hair buns.
Is
and
the king just so childlike that he's not even interested in sex?
Well,
Is that it?
I don't know. I mean, the way they do this twitchy face thing, it seems like this really overt kind of kiddie foreplay that is, you know, like the regressing, like, oh, baby, I want you to fuck me like a daddy. It's that kind of vibe they've got, isn't it? And I mean, this is 1968. They must have invented this very specific subgenre of regressive, kiddie, kinky eroticism.
I just don't understand why, like, she wants to banish, like, all the kids. Right.
But acts like a kid
in the
bedroom.
She wants to banish all the kids. Is she just trying to be as adult as possible? But every time she tries to be an adult, he just regresses to being like a kid and wanting to have fun.
That's above me, mate. This is getting all Freudian
psychoanalysis
now, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I'm spent now.
I am.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah. So we'll move things on. We'll have a little segue, one of my new little segues, and then we'll do film trivia time, people, so keep listening, keep enjoying us. See you soon.
Bad nostalgia. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on Fab Radio International.
Here we are, children. Come and get your lollipop.
Will ruin your childhood.
We certainly will effing ruin your childhood. Yes, we will. And we love doing it, don't we, Pete?
We do, mate.
Every single bloody week. And we do 7 episodes every series, don't we?
We do, mate.
One extra.
Clocking it up.
Oh, what a back catalogue, mate. Do visit all our shows, by the way. Look them up on Podomatic or iTunes. Look up Bad Nostalgia. Download it into your phone. Be up to date every time we release a new episode. 19 hours worth, baby. Come on, get on the treadmill, get walking, get driving, get listening. Ooh, right, slick as fuck. So, I think it's time for a bit of film trivia.
Yes,
unless
mate.
You want to throw your hat in the ring with any other comments before we wrap up?
No, mate, no, that's it from me.
Okay, let's do it.
Film trivia time.
Okay, I like this part of the show. Mate, do you want to kick us off?
So the director fucking hated kids.
nice little fucking you threw in there.
Dick Van Dyke had to sort of have a word with him about how horrible he was being to the kids because he kept swearing in front of them. But Dick Van Dyke was like a raging alcoholic on set as well.
Yeah, at the time, wasn't he?
So you had this director going, oh, you fucking little shitty kids, fuck off. And then Dick Van Dyke stumbling in just going like... right, can we just calm it down, mate?
Just leave them alone.
Leave them alone. They're not little shits, they're all right.
Just give him a whiskey and he'll be fine.
Sure.
Give him a spliff and he'll be reed. Yeah, totally. Very good point. And Dickie Van Dyke, he was hard to tie down to this film, wasn't he? After the old Mary Poppins, he turned it down, and they said no, we'll give you more money. No, and it's like they had to give him so much money before he agreed to do it. And even then, he only agreed to do it on the basis that he didn't have to do another stupid Cockney accent.
Yeah,
because as you know, it's like he's American, never has to explain it, and they're English, and they're in England, and everyone's English.
Yeah.
He's American, never explained. Don't need to, though. I mean, the whole accent just distracts so much when it's that bad, doesn't it? Just keep your American accent. Don't explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the director hated the kids. Andy was a massive alcoholic and smoked 40 a day. That's what I got, mate. Was there anything else?
Phil Collins was edited out of the film. He was one of the kids storming out of the castle at the end. He was edited out of the film because he had a large bandage on his head that was covering up a cyst. And the director decided to edit it out because it wasn't very attractive. It was distracting. So it would have been like, I'm sorry, Phil, we've edited you out of the film because the bandage doesn't really look very attractive on your head and it's a kid's film. And Phil Collins was probably like, well, isn't there like a gangly paedophile in the film with like a massive nose and you're keeping him in?
A really phallic nose that looks like a cock. And Phil Collins was obviously a kid at the time as traumatic little kid. It's like,
it's gonna upset people, mate, the bandage. Well, there's a guy who kidnaps kids. Is that not? No, Phil, just shut up and go.
Just go and join Genesis.
Go and dress as a gorilla and play the drums.
Just fuck off.
Yeah.
Yes, so Dick Van Dyke was a massively, very high-functioning alcoholic, really. Like, the bamboo set piece, the bamboo dancing bit. I was so impressed at his ability in that. So sharp to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
And he did it whilst he was absolutely fucked on alcohol.
Yeah.
And he used to smoke 40 cigs a day. Just high-functioning alcoholic. He's the best advertisement for alcoholism.
Do you think he was actually meant to do the old bamboo in time? But, like, he was actually pissed. That's why he was one move behind everyone
else. That's a good point. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, he was probably meant to be ahead of everyone.
Yeah.
He was like, just, this is as good as it's going to get, guys. Just leave the cameras
rolling. He's had a bottle of whiskey. Let's just do the old bamboo.
We're lucky he's not got his knob out, to be honest, mate. And he hasn't thrown up over his bamboo. Just let him go with it. All right. Yeah, that's in the can. Fucking hell. Right, good. Okay, that's short and sweet, but I think you had a few good whoppers there, mate.
Yeah. There's another one as well.
All right. Hit me.
There's been a lot of parallels drawn with the Child Catcher and Joseph Mengele, who was the famous Nazi doctor that did loads of experimentations on kids. And he
Jewish
gained,
kids.
And he gained their trust by giving them sweets. So that was sort of apparently the relevance of him coming round with the ice cream truck
and
everything.
Oh. Oh, tasteless, mate.
Yeah. Not even funny. Just a stone cold fact.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here sometimes, not just to be funny, but to let you know how horrific some of these, you know, the parallels in these films are. And on that bombshell, that's do follow us on Twitter.
Oh, God, no, don't follow us on Twitter right now. Fuck it, hell. We're not on Twitter. Right, so we're going to have a final segue, and then we're going to do our little recap and our little roundup. And we'll also do the roundup from last week's episode because we got cut off.
I want some more.
What?
Please, sir. I want some more.
We'll ruin your childhood.
We certainly will ruin your effing childhood.
Very nice.
Another nice little segue there. Just like that one, Pete.
It's great, mate. You've been busy. I feel bad.
I've been really busy, mate. Really busy with it. Right, so, okay, out of five... What are you going to give it for horror?
Horror. I'm going to give it a 4 because of the Child Catcher.
I'm going to give it a whopping 5 because, it's the Child Catcher and just that level of sinister stuff because of the, you know, the concentration camp and Nazi Germany, all that underneath the surface. I'm going to have to give it a 5.
Yeah.
Violence.
I'm going to give it a 1.
Okay. I put 3 for some reason. I don't know why, but I'll stick to it. Right, sex?
Sex. The whole weird scene with the Baron and the Baroness, that weird scene, I'm going to give
Chuchy
it...
face.
Yeah, the weird... Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3 for inappropriateness there.
For Chuchy face alone, I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Morality.
I think just a 2 for that.
I'm going to give it a 3. Okay. So in total, I have 13.
Okay, I have got 10.
10, really?
I'm missing one out.
You must be missing one out. It can't be as low as that, mate.
Violence, language.
Horror, violence, sex, horror. Morality.
Horror, violence, sex. Yeah, I've just got a 10.
Wow. I think our listeners love it the most when they listen to us do really basic arithmetic.
Yeah.
I think for them it's like the highlight of the show, to be honest.
Carol Vordy Pete.
Carol Vordy Pete. And they definitely haven't switched off already.
Yeah.
Right, so 10, that's an all-time low from Pete there, I think. You obviously loved it so much that you just thought it was pure, blissful innocence, did you?
Well, not really.
No. But it's fine. It's still a respectful score of 23 overall. And I've got to say, actually, Mary Poppins last week, I gave it 13 and Pete, I believe, gave it 14.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that is actually ahead so far in this series, where I thought it might be towards the back. But no, it's a leader at the moment, Mary Poppins. But yes, do stay in touch. Do keep following us. Keep looking out for our new episodes. We'll be here again same time next week. Keep listening to your favourite podcast. Yeah, yeah, I've decided that's what we are. And I've been Lewis Charlesworth.
I've been Pete Phillipson.
Take care, people. We really, really adore your attention.